In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. A reading from Genesis chapter 3. The eyes of both the man and the woman were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Reading from Galatians chapter 3. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. A reading from John, chapter 19. Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Later, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Behold the man before you,
Jesus. St. John says, they took his garments and divided them, also his tunic. No small thing that they took his tunic, that is his undergarment. Once his tunic was gone, Jesus was naked, exposed for all to see. Most of our contemporary artwork of the crucifixion, this one included, suggests that Jesus was wearing a loincloth. I'm glad they put that on there for modesty, but there was no loincloth on Jesus. He was there exposed for all to see. God the Father was never exposed like that. God the Holy Spirit was never exposed like that. But God the Son is, because God the Son is a human. He has a body that can be stripped naked, behold the man. And as you do, behold the God who can be exposed for you. Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. Nothing wrong with being naked when you are innocent, when you are selfless, and when you are with the one to whom you are married. So Adam and Eve were not ashamed. Shame requires self-focused introspection, something that's a little egotistical. But Adam and Eve weren't focused on themselves. They were focused on their giving God until their attention was diverted from their giving God. And they ate the fruit from the death tree, and their eyes were suddenly open to a new reality. They knew evil as well as good. And for the first time, they took a good hard look at themselves. And because they had just sinned, they did not like what they saw, and for good reason. They are naked, they are vulnerable, they are fallen. They are ashamed. Look at me, Adam must have thought. Look at me. Eve felt the same way. And they don't seem to be too much concerned about the other person's welfare like they used to be. Concerned only for themselves. They see their own nakedness, their own shame. This is what sin does. It causes us to turn in on ourselves. And when we do, we're ashamed of what we see. So when you're exposed, what do? Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together. Didn't work. Fig leaves cannot cover sin. Fig leaves cannot cover death. Fig leaves cannot cover shame. God finds our first parents. It was not difficult for him. He always knows where we are, even when we're hiding. And he doles out the consequences. Pain in childbirth. Pain in eking out a living. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And God finishes doling out the consequences, and then he upgrades their wardrobes from fig leaves to furs. Garments made out of fig leaves do not require any blood. Garments made out of animal skins, that requires blood to be shed. In other words, God mercifully stays the execution of our first parents by sacrificing the first animal blood so that he can cover them. In other words, this animal is skinned, stripped of its hide, exposed, all so that the shame of Adam and Eve can be covered. Are you like our first parents? Are you ashamed when you look at your life? If you are not, there is something wrong with your conscience. You're pretending that you do not know good and evil. Maybe you're lying to yourself. Maybe you're lying to us. Worst of all, maybe you're lying to God. But trying to hide your sin won't accomplish anything. It is like trying to use Adam and Eve's fig leaves. You will be exposed. Sin is not like the browser history on your computer. It cannot be hidden and it cannot be erased. Your God knows what it is that brings you shame. And here's the deal. On Judgment Day, all the books will be opened and everyone will know what brings you and me shame. Sometimes people avoid reading the Bible or they avoid coming to church because they're trying to fool themselves into believing that if they don't hear about their sin maybe won't be counted against them. Or we come to church and we ignore the fact that we are, well, at least certain sins we ignore, we cover up, we try to hide. I don't like going to confession because it exposes my shameful life. But my shameful life is going to be exposed. Far better to do it now when it can be dealt with by my Lord. And when the only person who's going to hear besides my Lord is a pastor who has pledged not to repeat anything he hears. And then he can tell me that my shame has been covered in a way that is far more beautiful and far more permanent even than that precious garment that our God put on Adam and Eve. I get to hear my Lord say through my pastor's mouth, "Behold the man. Behold the man who allowed his holy flesh to be exposed so that my unholy flesh will not be exposed." So it will be covered, all because Jesus was willing to be exposed. There's more than one way in which Jesus was exposed. I'm going to talk about two of them, inside and outside. John tells us that they flogged Jesus. Flogging, that's a beating so severe that even the ruthless Romans would not allow it to be meted on anyone who was a citizen of their country. But they had no qualms about flogging a Christian who wasn't a Roman citizen, or someone like Jesus. The church historian Eusebius describes a flogging, and I quote, "Bystanders were struck with amazement when they saw them lacerated with scourges, even to the innermost veins and arteries, so that the inward parts of the body were exposed." There's the word. You see, when they flogged somebody, they would put sharp pieces of metal or animal bone on the ends of little straps of leather that were tied to a whip. And on other straps, they would tie metal balls so that when that whip came down on somebody's back, the metal balls would create welts across their back. And the sharp stones or metal or animal bones would rip open the skin. And then subsequent lashes would gash even deeper until eventually muscle was exposed, sometimes shredded as it was torn out. Dear Christians, behold the man who was willing to be exposed to that kind of suffering for you, who was willing for no other reason than out of love for you to endure excruciating pain. Behold the man who allowed his flesh to be exposed to that torture that you might never have to suffer eternal torture. Behold the man who is appropriately wearing a crown of thorns. Because when the consequences of sin were told, it was thorns and thistles that Adam was going to have to fight. And so as Jesus bore the curse for Adam and for you and for me, he appropriately wore thorns, crowning him, reminding us of what he was doing for us. But that got him mocked. The king of all gets mocked as if he is the king of none. Pilate hauls him out and says, "Behold the man." A way, it seems, of suggesting that Jesus is just an ordinary human. He couldn't be a king, let alone be God. John wants us to see the irony. Behold the man. The only man in all of history who did not let his humanity get corrupted by sin. Behold the man who alone could and did redeem all men and women. Caiaphas suggested that one man perhaps should die for the people. And God, in his infinite wisdom, made Caiaphas unwittingly a prophet. One man did die for the people. One man ruined all of humanity in Eden. One man restored all of humanity at Calvary. One man, through one man, Satan conquered all of us. Through one man, Satan was conquered for all of us by being exposed. Not only on the inside when the whips exposed him, but also on the outside. He was naked. But Jesus felt no shame. Remember that shame requires a self-focused introspection. But Jesus isn't focused on himself. He's focused on you. And so Jesus doesn't concern himself with saving himself or defending himself, preserving his life or covering up his nakedness. Jesus is concerned only about clothing you and me so that when those books are opened on the last day, there is nothing left on our books that would cause us any shame. Because when your iniquity has been transferred over to Jesus, there's nothing left of sin under your name in God's book. This is why we confess our sins, and it is why we behold the man. We behold that man whose innards are exposed by scourging. We behold the man whose outer flesh is exposed as he is stripped naked. We behold the man who is left there hanging for all the world to mock at. We behold the man who was willing to go naked so that he could clothe you in his righteousness. Behold the man who clothes you not in an animal skin, but who gives you nothing less than his holy life to wear all your life. How did St. Paul say it? As many of you as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Are you baptized? You've put on Christ. You are wearing his holy life. You are clothed in garments from his exclusive Messiah collection. You, dear Christians, you are given raiments fit to dwell with God for all eternity because of Jesus. You are wearing the God who was exposed. And because he was exposed, your sin is paid for. Your guilt is gone. And even your shame is covered. Behold the man who went naked and clothes you in his righteousness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last.
Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord. To herald your love in the morning. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy and gracious God, I confess that I have sinned against you this day. Some of my sin I know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which I'm ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask forgiveness. Deliver and restore me that I may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Rest now in his peace, and rise in the morning to serve him. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. trusted. They trusted, you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Jeremiah chapter 14. I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." John 14. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Into your hands.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Listen to my cry.
keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
In righteousness I shall see you.
On my way, your presence will be a joy.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the day, especially for the good we were permitted to give and to receive. The day is now past, and we commit it to you. Be present and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of life may find our rest in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Eternal God, the hours both of day and night are yours, and to you the darkness is no threat. Be present, we pray, with those who labor in these hours of night, especially those who watch and work on behalf of others. Grant them diligence in their watching, faithfulness in their service, courage in danger, and competence in emergencies. Help them to meet the needs of others with confidence and compassion. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, support us all the day long of this troubled life until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed, the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, Lord, in your mercy, grant us a safe lodging and a holy rest and peace at the last. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and keep you.